The man who stopped a school shooter.
Firefighter Brock is absolutely a hero to us.
Hitting Wells Fargo's bottom line.
Integrity and trust matter.
A presidential candidate again grasps for answers.
I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment.
I'm giving
Mexico.
You the whole world.
I know.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, a small-town volunteer firefighter is being hailed as a hero today for stopping a teenager who shot two students and a teacher outside an elementary school in Townville, South Carolina. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is there. He has the latest.
Police say the shooter, who was armed with a handgun, never entered the school. Volunteer firefighter Jamie Brock apprehended him and held him outside on the playground until police arrived.
One of our firefighters did that. And probably save a lot more lives.
Police say the gunman began his rampage by shooting his father, 47-year-old Jeffrey Osborne, at the family's home. The shooter called his grandmother and was emotional.
She could not make out what he was saying because he was crying and upset.
When the grandparents visited the home, they discovered their son's body and their grandson gone. He had already driven to Townville Elementary, about 3 miles away. 2 6-year-old students were shot, one in the leg, the other in the foot. A female teacher was also struck in the shoulder.
The teacher and one of the students are home now. One student remains in critical condition. Now to Southern California.
No justice, no peace! No
it was another night of protest in El Cajon, the San Diego suburb where a black man was shot and killed by police.
This isn't going to go away. We're going to keep doing this as long as it takes.
Police say 38-year-old Alfred Olango was holding a 4-inch-long electronic smoking device in his hands, pointing it at officers when he was shot. His family describes Olango as mentally ill. El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells has seen video of the fatal encounter.
I saw a man who was distraught, a man who was acting in ways that looked like he was in great pain, and I saw him get gunned down and killed. And it broke my heart.
The FBI and local district attorney are investigating. In Washington, Congress has come to terms on a bill that will keep the government running into December. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The bill staves off a government shutdown, keeping agencies funded for 10 more weeks. It provides more than $1 billion to fund the fight against Zika and some $500 million to help those affected by the recent devastating floods. It's the result of a careful compromise aimed at avoiding a crisis and getting members of both parties back home to campaign.
And members of both parties in both houses overrode President Obama's veto of a bill that allows 9/11 families to sue Saudi Arabia, the first override of the Obama presidency. Wells Fargo CEO John Stumpf makes his second appearance on Capitol Hill in as many weeks today. He's been under fire for the bank's sales tactics and creation of bogus accounts that cost customers millions. California State Treasurer John Chung has taken action of his own.
I replaced Wells Fargo as the lead underwriter on 2 major state bond issues.
And that could cost the bank billions of dollars. Stumpf and another Wells Fargo executive have agreed to forfeit millions in salary and stock. The presidential campaign trail runs through a state where the first battles in the race to the White House were held. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Hillary Clinton is heading to Iowa today because it's the first day of in-person voting in that battleground state. So she will be encouraging Democrats to get out there and vote early. And she'll have supporters and surrogates in a number of different Iowa cities making the same case.
In stops yesterday in the Midwest, Donald Trump fired away at Clinton.
She put the office of Secretary of State up for sale. And if she ever got the chance, she'd put the Oval Office up for sale also.
And CBS's Major Garrett is covering the Trump campaign.
Trump is working on several new lines of attack and themes against Hillary Clinton, test marketing them, if you will, as he travels from rally to rally, all part of an effort to make Clinton's fitness for office the central issue.
For Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson, another campaign stumble. It came during an appearance on MSNBC.
Name a foreign leader that you respect.
I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment in the former president of Mexico.
But I'm giving you the whole world.
I know.
Anybody in the world you like. Anybody. Pick any leader.
The former president of Mexico.
Which one?
The Aleppo moment Johnson refers to as his drawing a blank earlier this month in a question about the Syrian city. Russia says what it calls its war on terror will continue in Syria. The Kremlin brushed off a threat today by Secretary of State Kerry to cut off all discussions with Russia on Syria unless the bombardment of Aleppo is stopped. Sparked by the sexual assault claims against Bill Cosby, some of them going back decades, California lawmakers have moved to get rid of the state's 10-year-old statute of limitations on reporting sex crimes beginning next year. Cases already 10 years old, like those against Cosby, would not be affected. Cosby accuser Helen Hayes says it will help scores of women.
They go into shame, and then they go into silence. Who's going to believe you? And you can't try to go to the police, and so you just shut up.
And critics say the law could lead to convictions based on old evidence and faded memories. In Ohio, a man who's a suspect in the killings of four women will be arraigned on murder charges today. 40-year-old Sean Great has been linked by authorities to two deaths and the abduction of a third woman who was rescued 2 weeks ago. He's also said to have confessed to two other killings, one dating back to 2005. In the Northeast, authorities have searched the Vermont home of a 22-year-old man who was found clinging to a life raft in the Atlantic last weekend. Nathan Carman says his mother drowned when their boat sank. Carman was also suspected but never charged in the 2013 death of his grandfather. Agnes Nixon, the queen of modern soap operas, has died. She was the creative guiding light behind an edgier brand of daytime shows that hit TV in the 60s and 70s. And on All My Children, she gave viewers the self-centered, high-octane Erica Kane, played by Susan Lucci.
It's one challenge after the other after the other. So many shoes to fill. So many hats to wear.
Agnes Nixon was 93. In baseball, not just any crack of the bat. Former football player Tim Tebow getting a hold of the first pitch he saw in his first game in Florida's instructional league. And in storybook fashion, it was a home run. The 2007 Heisman Trophy winner went 0 for 5 the rest of the day. Economic conditions often force people to get more than one job. But CBS's Peter King tells us there's evidence other workers are dabbling in something else, too.
It's a trend.
29% of full-time workers have a side job.
But Career Builder's Jennifer Grass says it's not always about the money. For some, it's about breaking up the day-to-day routine of the real job.
People are looking at opportunities where they can build up skill sets or pursue areas that they were always interested in.
Grass says about 1 in 5 already make more than $75,000 a year. More than 1 in 10, $100,000. That said, at least 4 in 10 millennials say they've got side gigs, many to help pay off student loans. Peter King, CBS News.
Families of African-American athletes like Jesse Owens, who were snubbed when they returned home from the 1936 Berlin Games, get some recognition today. They'll see President Obama at the White House. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.